Hey, it's a week six NFL preview with the Giants and Eagles, the Lions and Chiefs, and more. Welcome to the Shots into Near NFL podcast from FTN Fantasy for Thursday, October 9th, 2025. I'm Aaron Schatz. You know me as the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy. He is Mike Tenier. You know from his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. This show is sponsored by our friends at Underdog. If your fantasy team is decimated by injuries, Underdog is a great way to get back in the game, all you Malik Neighbors owners. Make picks. Make picks using everything you learn from us on the show, then sweat the games and win cash when your picks hit. New customers can play $5 and get up to $100 in bonus funds or entries when they use the promo code FTN to sign up. Terms apply, and as always, play responsibly. Yes. And of course, we take comments if you are watching us live, which we do Mondays and Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. We've got some good games this week. A lot of good teams versus bad teams. What happened is there's a Monday night doubleheader.
Yes.
And two of the best games of the week kind of got saved for Monday night. There's Bills and Falcons, and there's Bears and Commanders in the rematch of last year's Hail Mary. And yeah, those games are going up against each other on Monday night. So the 1 o'clock window in particular has a lot of losing team versus winning team.
Yep. And also we have the Eagles tonight, which takes another winning team and takes them out of the equation.
Right. So, like, for example, I give you the playoff odds for tonight's game. The Eagles are 82% in with a win and 58% with a loss. That's the Giants are 3% with a win and 0.3% with a loss.
So you're saying there's a chance, but that's a big spread for the Eagles. To go 4-2 and have it go down that far is significant.
Yeah, well, that's, I think part of that is just not an expectation they're going to lose this thing. But also it would make, you know, it's a division loss, right? Which, if, you know, they're going up against the Commanders for the division at some point. Mm-hmm. E-Dog, the big dog, says, should Eagles fans be concerned when our 3-and-out rate on offense is in the same breath as the 2005 49ers?
Eagles are 29th in the NFL in yards per play right now.
So, yeah, they're better in DVOA. I mean, DVOA, the struggling Eagles offense is actually 15th in pass DVOA and 10th in run DVOA. The opponent adjustments definitely matter when it comes to looking at the Eagles offense. I'm going to give you a stat that I found that I think exhibits why we can, you know, break down the runs and passes and whatnot, but why this is a get right game for the Eagles.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts is currently the third lowest quarterback in the league in DVOA against zone coverage and the third highest quarterback in the league in DVOA against man coverage.
Interesting.
And that's not a one-year thing. Last year, I remember writing multiple times, including before the Super Bowl, about how much Hurts struggled with cover three specifically. The Giants are mostly a man coverage defense.
Right, and a man coverage team with one good cornerback in Cordell Flott.
And the Eagles are a team that slices through man coverage with two good wide receivers, two number one wide receivers, essentially. So I feel like this could be a good get-right game for the Eagles offense.
Agreed. Now, of course, the Eagles are worried about a couple of injuries right now. Pro Bowl guard Landon Dickerson is out tonight, or unofficially, but officially out. Saquon appeared on the injury report, but reportedly he has soreness and he expects to play. Jalen Carter did not practice on Wednesday. It seems like he's going to be playing hurt every week with shoulder and other injuries. Craig Calcaterra, tight end, is out. He's, you know, kind of a significant part of the Eagles offense. When they go to tight ends, they look to him to short passes. They look at him as a blocker. Other side of the ball, Darius Slayton is out. And of course, we have Neighbors out.
Who is wide receiver one for the Giants? I don't. I mean, Wandale Robinson is never going to be wide receiver one. So is it like Jalen Hyatt? Is it Lil Jordan Humphrey? I have no idea.
Lil Jordan. It's Jalen Hyatt as the guy who's like a traditional wide receiver. He was 0-for-3 on targets last week.
Like, who would you cover with Mitchell?
I think
it is. Right? Like, Cooper DeJean will be on Wandale Robinson. Yes. So it's like Mitchell on Hyatt? Like, talk about your shutdowns. Jeez.
Put him on Hyatt and let Ringo blitz. They'll probably just sides it out is what they'll do.
The interesting thing for me is Saquon against the Giants defense. So ESPN win rates have the Giants in the top 10 in run stop win rate, even though they have one of the worst run defense DVOAs ever. It's a really weird dichotomy. I have no idea how that works.
There's got to be an opponent.
They've allowed like 6.5 yards per play or something on the run.
On the run. Oh, my gosh. I'm not prepped up for this. I'm trying to like get... Last week, Miller didn't do anything. Kamara didn't do
No, anything. But the four games before that, like Hampton ran all over them, but like 12 carries for like 126 yards or something.
Hampton, another guy on Underdog Fantasy, you might need injury advice.
Another guy that if your fantasy team drafted Omarion Hampton, you should be playing Underdog because then you don't have to play Omarion Hampton this week.
Absolutely.
By the way, if the Giants try to use tight ends to make up for their wide receiver injuries, guess what? The Eagles are number two against tight ends this year.
You're giving Zach Bond an opportunity to beat you. You're giving Dijon, if you're trying to move them out to the slot, that would be a possibility. But they're going to have to. Bellinger and Theo Johnson were the top targets. And by the way, Jackson Dart is averaging 2.8 yards per completion. That would be that's below Aaron Rodgers. That is really, really low. That is dumping it off in the flat, getting it to Scatabo and saying, go Scatabo through the defense. Not a good way to try and attack a good defense.
I know weird things happen on Thursday games, especially if you're on the road, but the New York is not that far from Philadelphia to be on the road, and I really like the Eagles tonight, -7.5.
-7.5. I'm getting seven, more comfortable with 7 than 7.5, but Eagles bad vibes, Eagles concerns that we're talking about, they're legitimate. Giants aren't a good team. Giants just lost to the Saints, who are about as bad a team as you can play, and it wasn't that close. So this should be a win for the Eagles.
We'll skip talking about the New York Jets and the 9:30 in the morning Europe game. And let's go straight to 1 p.m., where the best game of the 1 p.m. slot is the 3-2 Seahawks versus the 4-1 Jaguars. Seahawks make the playoffs in 73% of sims where they win, 51% where they lose. Jaguars, 87% where they win, 70% where they lose. We are headed towards two AFC South teams in the playoffs.
For the first time since 1963, of course.
Like, we really are. Like, I mean, Houston is kind of showing life. Obviously, they picked on a very injured Ravens team last week.
Right.
But the Jaguars are good. The Colts are very good.
Right.
And it really could have two AFC South teams in the playoffs. Now, what's interesting here is the Seahawks last week had the better post-game win expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
But lost, right. And the Jaguars won despite having the worst post-game win expectancy. So we have the Seahawks like second and the Jaguars only like 12th or something in DVOA, even though the Jaguars have the better record and they are the home team in this game.
Well, this is the battle between the team that does dumb stuff at the goal line, the Jaguars, versus the team that does dumb stuff on the final drive in the fourth quarter, the Seahawks, where both of their games come down to Darnold playing well overall, coughing the ball up when he needs to make a play.
Darnold is number one in the adjusted EPA-type stats that people like Kevin Cole and Ben Baldwin do. And yet at the same time, there is that lack of trust at the end of games that comes from history and last year's playoffs and last week.
Right. I mean, he's helped by having a very stable offensive line, but it's not a fantastic offensive line. They're getting the job done. It's helped by a scheme that's full of all these
short. No, but you pointed out today, for those who don't know what the two deep zone Mike wrote today about the continuity of offensive lines so far this year, it's been a very continuous offensive line and a stable offensive line this year.
Right. It's been their five starters, more or less, although somebody got hurt in camp for the Seahawks. So they've had that. They've got a scheme that gets the ball out into the flats and guys and things. So Darnold has been executing there. That's a lack of trust. We all got to see the Jaguars goal line experience.
Good time. Yes.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Wild time. I mean, they didn't throw the pick six, I guess, but Trevor Lawrence falls on his face and gets up and then runs in for a touchdown was interesting.
Don't, don't forget the tush push with the dive over the top. Two great tastes that taste great together.
Andrew Daly says, I'm a Jags fan, but I do think the Seahawks win this one. Do we project the Seahawks to win the NFC West? I would have to open up, hold on, the playoff odds and tell you what the latest projection this week is as far as the NFC West. We have San Francisco 38, Rams 35, Seattle 26, and Arizona 2.
Well, that's the Niners playing very well and getting healthy later.
Yes, and the 4-1, right? They have the one game advantage. The Rams have been the best, the Rams and Seahawks, but you know, based on prior knowledge, the Rams are higher in Dave, so the Rams come up a little higher in the odds. The Jaguars are very good running the ball, sixth running the ball this year, but the Seahawks defense has been awesome against the run. They're second against the run. Their weakness has been the pass, where they've been average, and the Jaguars' weakness has been the pass, where they've been average.
And there are more problems on the way for the Seahawks pass defense. Injury report. As of yesterday, this time, Devin Witherspoon was undergoing imaging on his knee. That's usually not a good sign that he's going to be out there this week. There was no injury update as of this morning on Reek Woolen. He was knocked out of the game against the Buccaneers. Those are your two starting cornerbacks. Julian Love might be returning to practice today. You'll know more. He's at safety. And Tank Lawrence is kind of in the same boat. So you have three guys in the secondary, one of the top guys. I don't want to miss anybody on the defensive line this time for the Seahawks. One of the top guys on defensive line for the Seahawks. Possibly out. You have to stay tuned on that.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Seahawks have been really stingy to opposing number one receivers this year. Only 38 yards a game. And Brian Thomas has scuffled, but if they've got injuries in the secondary, how does that affect things?
Right. Witherspoon was in and out, so it wasn't like Spoon was shutting guys down.
Right.
It was probably pass rush scheme, you know, getting to the quarterback. I think that was probably a lot of it in the first few games.
And meanwhile, for your DFS slates, the Jaguars give up 87 yards a game to opposing wide receiver one, and you may have heard of this gentleman named Jackson Smith-Njigba, who is playing better than anyone who's not named Puka Nacua so far this year.
Absolutely phenomenal ball player, and they find ways to get him the ball. Quick Jaguars injury report. Center Robert Hainsley, hamstring, got knocked out of the game late against the Chiefs. His backup did well, did not practice Wednesday. Trayvon Walker, who missed the Monday nighter, looks like he might be coming back. He has a wrist injury. He's been limited in practice.
And the Jaguars offensive line, surprisingly strong this year.
Yes.
ESPN in the win rates, third pass blocking, second run blocking.
Amazing. Like Walker Little's good now.
Yes, it's a real strength against strength because that Seattle defense, especially the front, has been so good. And then the Jaguars offensive line has been surprisingly good.
Right.
The line is Jaguars minus one, which means that Vegas sees Seattle as a slightly better team. I think Seattle is more better than the Jaguars. I like Seattle in this game. I would go like Seattle money line or something.
I don't like the injury report. I don't like the injury report for Seattle, so I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
Interesting. Yeah, well, I mean, 5-1 for the Jaguars would make me look good.
Portals!
All right, we want to get a quick mention in of Rams at Ravens because this is, believe it or not, the most important game on Sunday for the playoff odds. Now, the most important game all week for playoff odds is Bears-Commanders on Monday night.
Okay.
But this one, the Rams make it 78% of the time if they win and 58% if they lose. And the Ravens, 69% if they win, 47% if they lose. Wow. But, of course, that assumes Lamar Jackson will be back after the bye week. Mm-hmm. If you take it so Lamar Jackson never comes back, the Ravens' playoff odds drop from 56% to 23%.
And that sounds high. 1-5.
That sounds high, but that sounds high in part. Cooper Rush is not going to be as bad as he was last week.
That's what we said about
Jake. We have a whole like 3 or 4 years of Cooper Rush experience.
It's literally
compared to one game against the Texans defense.
Yes. I know. I'm just saying we literally said that 3 weeks ago about Jake Browning and now they're trading.
Yeah. Well, then Jake Browning was bad for three games. Although it's very fun. Every advanced stat shows that Jake Browning has been better than Joe Flacco this year.
Yeah. I made a joke about it. Some folks on the Blue Sky were like, well, explaining to me why this makes sense for football reasons. I understand why people are explaining to me that this makes sense for football reasons, because football people who do this for a living did it, made the trade, but it doesn't make sense for football reasons. It's a panic move, folks.
It is. I think it's much more about visual. We are trying to save our season, visual reasons, than it is about Joe Flacco was actually a better quarterback than Jake Browning reasons.
Or a better choice at this point, coming in on Tuesday, getting handed a playbook on Wednesday.
Right. I was going to say, not just Joe Flacco, but Joe Flacco showing up in midweek. Although, I mean, again, like if there's a quarterback who can learn an offense at midweek, like the number one guy on my list right now who could do that would be Joe Flacco, because he's 40 years old and has been in the league forever.
Right. He's learned like 80 offenses. But I put Brett Rippon in first for a week or something. I don't know. Let me give you the injury report, because that's all that matters. In this, the good news for the Ravens is that Kyle Hamilton and Ronnie Stanley were limited in practice on Wednesday. They could be back. They could also slow roll these guys for obvious reasons. The bad news, not practicing this week: Lamar Jackson, Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, Chidi Awuzie, and Patrick Ricard. Also, Zay Flowers showed up on the injury report. That's a real issue. Rams injury report. Yes.
Roquan and Humphrey are the big ones, right? Lamar Jackson should be back after the bye. Ronnie Stanley, this may last, but he should be back after the bye.
Yes.
Kyle Hamilton should be back after the bye.
Yes.
Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey are the multiple week injuries.
Yes. And Humphreys is your cornerback one, and your quarterback three is not a person who does not exist, Jair Alexander. So that could be a problem moving forward. Rams injury report: Robert Haverstein, ankle. I think he was actually benched, folks. Tyler Higbee, hip. And Omar Spates, the linebacker, they did not practice. One other note on this: heavy rainfall, very possible around kickoff on Sunday. Don't play any over-unders or anything until you get a weather forecast for Baltimore.
Red Matt says, any thoughts on the Ravens-Chargers trade? That was the trade of Odafe Owe. The pass rusher was sent to the Chargers for safety Alohi Gilman.
They needed a safety. The Chargers needed the edge rusher with Mack hurt.
Yes.
The Ravens also picked up CJ DJ, didn't they?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
It seems like a kind of trade that should help both teams a little. I don't know how much the Ravens can get rid of a pass rusher, but they wanted the safety, so... Between Gilman and Gardner Johnson, they should have, if they want to play three safeties, they should have three safeties.
Yeah, I don't know much about that guy at all. It seems like a good move for the Chargers. They're being aggressive. One other note, just because I was doing all this research, Joe Walt is not on IR, which means Joe Walt could return for the Chargers sometime in the next week or two, which means they could get a new, something semi-normal out of their offense in the weeks to come.
The Rams are favored by 7.5. I think I like the Rams.
Yeah.
The system also spit out over 44.5, but it didn't know that it's going to rain hard. So
right. Just check. Yeah, that's great. If it turns out clear skies, cloudy skies, whatever. I'd be more comfortable with 6.5, but I'd probably take the Rams at 7.5 right now.
Michael Allen Brewer wants to know, now that the Bengals are basically out of it, is Kirk Cousins going to stay a Falcon, or is there another potential suitor?
They're guaranteeing him money. It's a more complicated trade than a Flacco trade where you can just kind of toss him out there and exchange late round picks. I feel like the trade would have gotten done in March if everyone thought it made sense for everyone's finances. He's got a guaranteed salary right now. You're not just grabbing Cousins and paying him the minimum.
Geevers Golf wants to know, can the Cowboys get a wild card with that defense because Dak Prescott is playing exceptional? This is one where I think offense being more consistent and predictive than defense really applies. Like, the odds that the Cowboys stay a top five offense are a lot stronger than the odds that the Cowboys stay a bottom five defense. And so, yes, I absolutely think the Cowboys could win a wild card.
Yeah, do not LOL away the Cowboys for any reason right now.
The offense has been much better. You know, we laughed at Schottenheimer. We didn't know about why Prescott declined last year. Prescott is just inconsistent, and it was only half a year, and he's back to what he was 2 years ago, and he's playing great.
and they're running the ball well, and they've got these guys who stepped up in the wake of CD.
And CD will be back in a couple of weeks.
CD will be back. Offensive line, who's been banged up, will be getting guys back, probably starting this week. Again, do not LOL the Cowboys away because they're the Cowboys.
Cardinals 2-3 at Colts 4-1. It's another 1 p.m. game. Cardinals 17% with a win, 7% with a loss. Colts 85% with a win, 69% with a loss. Cardinals have defense improving, which was one of my predictions in the preseason, has come true. They are eighth on defense.
Yes.
Offense being good has not come true. They are 25th on offense. The Colts are better against the pass than the run, but the Cardinals' running game has really struggled after losing Clayton Adams, the running game coordinator, who's now the offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys.
Right, and Connor, which has been a knock-on because you have to bring other guys off the bench.
Right, and then they lost Trey Benson, who was Connor's promising young backup, who was very high on the top prospects list in the book, and then he's out.
Right.
So now you have DeMarcado, who doesn't remember to hold the ball past the damn goal line.
And gets yelled at by Gannon on the sidelines. And Kyler Murray is not practicing this week, or at least did not practice yesterday with a foot injury. Here's Jonathan Gannon's quote on Jacoby Brissett, the backup. If he's got to play, he's got to play.
Now, Jacoby Brissett, even if he plays, sneaky good DFS week to play Michael Wilson.
Okay.
Because the Colts are allowing 33 yards a game to number one receivers and 77 to number twos.
Okay.
Because it's keep away from Chavarius Ward. Mm-hmm. And Xavien Howard retired.
Yeah, so he's goodbye.
Which means someone worse than Xavien Howard is now. It's Mekhi Blackman, used to be with the Minnesota Vikings. Mekhi Blackman is now the number two cornerback for the Colts. So sneaky good Michael Wilson week. Probably comes cheap on Underdog or your DFS sites. Cardinals have trouble covering tight ends, so that's your over on Tyler Warren.
Big over on Tyler Warren. Don't sleep on Greg Dortch, too. Kenny Moore has been out for several weeks for the Colts, so not only is Blackman at number two, but I'm not sure who is at number three right now.
Yeah. The line is Colts minus seven. The system likes Colts minus seven barely.
You know, I hear the if he's got to play, he's got to play from Gannon, and I feel Colts minus a million, I'd take it. Like, if this is your messaging, you know?
No, yeah.
The
Cardinals are not doing well on messaging right now.
They're not doing well on messaging at
all. For a team that, I mean, is better than its record, when you lose three games on last-minute field goals by five combined points, you are – you know, that's the kind of team where I'm supposed to be out there broadcasting how much better that they are than their record.
Right.
But the vibes are bad. The vibes are bad.
The vibes are bad. And then you look at the undercurrent and it's like, yeah, they're only losing by a field goal. Two teams they should beat by 10 points.
Right.
Yeah.
4 p.m. has a really good game. And it's on most of the country, I think, is getting 49ers at 4-1 against the Buccaneers at 4-1. These are incredibly similar teams.
Oh, yeah.
Both teams have negative DVOA despite 4-1 records. Both teams are horrible on special teams so far this year.
Yeah.
Both teams are riddled with offensive injuries.
You don't say.
Both teams are really strong passing, but are struggling to run the ball. Yeah. And both teams on defense are much better against the run than they are against the pass, which means there should be a ton of passing in this game. These teams are really, really similar.
But by whom and to whom? You guys might notice I printed out my injury report here. I got to go give me a second to get the Buccaneers. 49ers. No. All right, here we go. Let's see. Niners injury report. Well, first of all, I'll start. Brock Purdy is not practicing, which means Mac Jones has been limited in practice with a knee and oblique. I don't think oblique.
Right. It's not just Mac Jones. It's a limited Mac Jones.
Yes. And by oblique, I don't think they mean the body part. I just mean he's just vaguely injured. He's just injured everywhere. Juwan Jennings did not practice early in the week. Neither did Ricky Pearsall. Neither did Jordan Watkins. Those are pretty much all the receivers besides the Bourne identity that you could possibly name there. Bucks, meanwhile, Chris Godwin has popped on the injury report with a fibula injury. I'm having a hard time getting any information on that. Mike Evans, still DNP with a hamstring. Bucky Irving, this is a quote from Schefter. Turns out the Buccaneers running back Bucky Irving's shoulder injury, which he did not report to the team until Tuesday of last week, thanks, Shefty, is more of an issue than his sprained foot, per sources. Irving is dealing with a shoulder subluxation that could sideline him at least 2 weeks. So that's the three top guys in the Bucs offense.
Mike Lauer Brewer says the injury report for this game is printed out on a CVS receipt.
10 comedy points.
Here's why I like the Bucs. Baker Mayfield is one of this year's top quarterbacks against zone, but he's near the bottom of the league against man, and San Francisco is mostly a zone defense, and Egbuka is going to get open in those zones.
Egbuka will get open. They'll find ways to get the ball to whoever's out there. I am just starting to run into whoever's out there. It's Egbuka and Otten and Sterling Shepard.
Like, yeah, because Godwin is playing, but he's not – there's been more Shepard than there's been Godwin the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I don't know if this fibula was something that was bothering him that, or that he was just slow coming back, but I don't know his status at this point. Rachaad White has been, like, extremely useful. He's been, like, bearable in the running game. He's been a good pass protector. So he provides something there, but you lose Bucky Irving. That's a big part of it. I just look at these two teams and, like, how will scoring happen?
The line is Bucks minus four. And I mean, I think scoring will happen. I think
scoring always happens.
Yeah, I think I like the Bucks in this one.
You like the Bucks? I think I'm leaning. I don't know. I'd have
they
to
are
see
at home, and it's a long trip for the 49ers. And
yes, and Mac Jones is oblique. That over under is at 47.5. Would you go over that? That's not chaos territory. 47.5.
I think I'd go under.
I gotta go under. There's just not enough guys. They lack guys.
Yeah. Really good 8 p.m. game, guys. 4-1 Lions at the 2-3 Chiefs. The Lions make the playoffs 96% with a win, 87% with a loss. The Chiefs, despite being 2-3, make it 78% of the time with a win and 58% of time with a loss because, like, even if they're 2-4 after this game, we think the Chiefs are a top 10 team. If you lose a close game to Detroit, you're still a top 10 team.
Right.
What's troubling for them is the winning the division.
Yeah.
Because Denver and the Chargers are good.
Right.
That if they lose this game, you know, even though it's not a tiebreaker game, that makes winning the division becomes tougher. And the Lions are the number one overall team in DVOA. The Chiefs are better on offense than defense this year. I think there was so much talk early in the season about the offense, even though we all knew part of it was receivers not playing.
Right.
That we didn't notice their defense is just not playing as well this year.
Right, right. It's kind of league. Where's it ranked? Because it feels like a league average defense.
They're like 15th in DVOA defensive. And what's interesting, the ESPN run stop win rate, these are the two worst defenses in the league, which is incredible to me about the Lions because the other numbers do not say that about the Lions. But the Chiefs have had trouble with the run this year.
Yeah, I don't want to have a low run stop win rate against the Lions ever.
Yeah. I mean, you pointed out in your thing today, Taylor Decker is probably going to miss this game at left tackle, but the rest of that Lions line is still very strong.
Yes. By the way, Amon-Ra St. Brown monitor this. He was a DNP with a wrist injury. I don't know how serious that is. He was out there all the time. I'm going to throw one thought at you. How often are teams even running against the Lions? Because they've blown several teams out this year. And when you look at a rate stat and, like, the team abandons the run at half, you know, halftime, but they got a couple of 10-yard runs
early. Right. They struggle. Yeah.
That might be some of it.
Always when you play the Lions, you have to check defense up the middle.
Yeah,
passes up the middle. The Chiefs are 18th against passes up the middle.
That's not phenomenal.
Both teams are good against opposing tight ends, which is something else you need to talk about when you talk about these teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I did another man zone split here. The Lions are heavily man defense.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes this year, 40% DVOA against zone, minus 20% against man.
They're a man and blitz team this year. And Mahomes has been blitzed about the second or third highest, depending on which source you use in the league. Teams are blitzing Mahomes.
So, yeah, and it used to be don't blitz Mahomes. And that has the last couple of years that has absolutely not been true.
Right. It looks like he is trying to dump it off to guys who aren't going to make a lot of plays for him. He's dumping it to Hollywood Brown or somebody as opposed to dumping it to, you know, years ago, Tyreek Hill. I didn't notice one thing, but beware. This is obvious. Beware of Mahomes outside the pocket.
Right.
33 time attempts outside the pocket this year. 72.7% completion rate, 11.4 yards per attempt. And, of course, he can also run when he's outside the pocket. So if the Lions are blitzing, and they blitz a lot this year, they got to make sure it's a containment blitz where they're not sending guys from one side and just tell Mahomes to run to his right.
Yeah, but I have a feeling they're smart enough to know that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They know what they're doing. Yes.
Yeah, it's another – I mean, that's the tough thing is if you play man against Mahomes, right, he's not playing well, passing well against it this year, but he'll run on you.
He'll run on you.
Whereas if you play zone, he can't run on you, but he's slicing it up as a passer.
He can just pick it up.
So I think you got to have the spy. You want to play the man with the spy.
Have Jack Campbell out there spying. Also, you could try to run up a two-score lead and just make them one-dimensional and see.
That would also help.
Yeah, that always helps.
The line is the 2-3 Chiefs are favored by 2.5. I think that is remarkable because that is larger than home field advantage. That suggests that the Chiefs are better than the Lions.
No.
Which seems weird to me. So I'm going to go Lions plus 2.5.
Yeah, it's almost a suspicious line. Like we're going to discover some, like Amon-Ra's going to get wrist surgery in 2 hours and we're going to be stunned or something. I'm going Lions right now based on the information.
I mean, you know, if it was if it was an even line, I probably would just stay away or whatever. But if the Lions were favored, I might go Chiefs. But a Chiefs being favored by more than 1.5 seems weird to me.
Yeah. In fact, you get the Lions money line plus 114, and I'd feel just as comfortable with that. This isn't a team I worry about, you know, the environment or things like that. They're the Lions.
The system also likes a kind of counterintuitive under 52.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because that's a pretty high number.
It's a, right.
All right. That does it for our week 6 preview. And we will be back on Monday to preview the doubleheader with the Bills and Falcons and the Bears and Commanders and to review all these games and talk about all the wacky things that are going to happen, probably in the Arizona Cardinals game, because that's where the wacky things happen. Thank you again for reading all of our stuff. Thank you for watching the show. Don't forget, you can get all these man zone splits with DVOA on the FTN Stats Hub. If you want DVOA for every quarterback against man and zone or blitz or not blitz, all that stuff, all those splits are on the FTN Stats Hub, except for last week's Giants-Saints game, which we'll have in there by next week. All right, that does it for the show. We'll talk to you guys Monday morning. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great weekend.